The night was dark. We sat out under the stars. A typical night for shepherds. Nothing much was happening. In fact, as I sat there with my legs crossed, watching, the sheep themselves had lain down. And so it became very difficult for me to even keep my eyes open as the night began to drag on. And the moon rose toward its zenith. My eyelids grew heavy. After all, this was just another night, like so many more, that I had spent before and expected to spend thereafter. Suddenly, as I was sitting there, dozing off, I thought I was dreaming. There was a light that shone in the sky off to my right. I heard the sheep start stirring, and some of my fellow shepherds, James and Judah, began to murmur among themselves. And I turned and looked in the direction of the light, and I saw Judah with this horrified look on his face. His eyes were wide and wild looking. He was trying to get up and back away, stumbling over his shepherd's stick. I also saw Simon. And Simon was just pointing with his mouth open and his eyes wide. I turned and I looked, and I knew that I must be dreaming. I had to be dreaming. For there, suspended in the sky, was a man. Oh, not just any man. This man had on a white robe, whiter than I had ever seen in my life. At first I thought perhaps he was standing on a hill that I had not seen earlier. But then again, I've been a shepherd in this part of the country for so long, I know every hill, every valley, every rough place, every straight path. So while my heart was saying, surely this must be a dream, or perhaps this man is standing on a hill, my mind was saying, but you know better. You know better. And suddenly, as my mind took hold, and I realized that this man in this white robe was suspended in the air, I must admit, fear began to grab hold of me as well. And I turned and started to get up to run, not knowing exactly where I was going to go to get away from this man, but surely I needed to. The sheep were beginning to rise, and they were beginning to go off in all kinds of directions. And I thought, how am I going to run, and how am I going to collect them? Because after all, they were my responsibility. And in the moment that I hesitated, a voice rang out. And that voice said, "Peace be with you. Do not be afraid. I am coming to bring you good news. I am not here to harm. Listen." I want to bring you good news of great joy for all of the people. For I tell you, there is a baby a Savior who has been born in Bethlehem. I pause for a moment. Bethlehem was only a few miles away. A Savior. Surely I must be dreaming after all. And I reached over and took hold of my arm and the skin and began to twist and pinch, and it hurt. And I knew I was not dreaming. You have to understand, we had been occupied for so long. There seemed to be no peace except in the middle of the night, sitting in the hillsides, looking at the stars. For during the daytime, there was a constant threat of bandits, or worse, the marching Roman armies. Good news, joy. We had very little of both. I looked at Simon, and he looked at me. Can you believe it? Do you see? And Simon said, "Do you see?" And I said, "Yes, I do." And the angel spoke again and said, "Do not be afraid. For I tell you, I bring good news of great joy for all people. For today has been born for you a Savior, the Messiah, the Lord." Mashiach, Messiah. Could it be? And why Bethlehem? You have to understand, Bethlehem was no great city. Messiah should have come in Jerusalem. But Messiah would not have been born to Herod. And so I looked to Simon again and I said, "Simon, what do you make of this? What do you think?" And Simon glanced up and looked back. And he said, "I do not know." But we must not be dreaming. What can it mean? Suddenly there was a rushing sound in the sky in the direction of where this angel was. And when we looked up, there were more men in white robes gathered around. And they began to sing, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and peace among all with whom God is pleased." And they disappeared. The song still ringing out through the night. I looked to Judah, who had finally recovered. He did not look quite as scared as he had earlier. And I must admit, I felt a little more calm myself since the sky was dark once again and things were quiet. And so we sat around and we began to talk. Because I really wondered if they had seen and heard what I had seen and heard. And they wondered the same about me. And as we began to talk, we suddenly realized that this was no dream. This was something that God was doing for us. For us. A king? A king for us? In Bethlehem of all places. And so I looked to Simon and I said, "Well, perhaps we should go. Perhaps we should go and see for ourselves." But Judah, the ever faithful one, looked, and in his practical way, he said, "We can go, but who will watch our sheep?" And then he looked again and said, "In fact, where are our sheep?" And as we began to look around, there were a few still close by, but most we could see moving off in the distance. And so we spent some time gathering our sheep, lest they be lost and never found again. It took us about an hour, but we finally had them all gathered together. And when we did, we began to talk once again. What should we do? What does this news mean? How will we even know for sure? And so we decided. We decided to go and to search this town. And so we walked the 4 to 5 miles from where we were to Bethlehem, wondering along the way, how will we know? How will we find him? We began to move through the town and decided that we would divide ourselves and go from house to house and ask if any births had taken place that night, or if anyone was pregnant and about to give birth. We went to several homes. Every one to which I went was full, for you see, a census was being taken. Augustus was Caesar in Rome. And evidently he decided that we had too much money and he did not have enough taxes. And so we gathered together so that we might be counted. Houses were full. Some people did not want to even open the door. They began to wonder, "Why are you here? We have no room," one man said, as soon as he came to the door and saw me standing there. I said, "But sir, I'm not here for a room. I want to find out," and the door slammed. A short time later, I heard Simon running through the streets and crying out, "Come quickly, I have found him. Come quickly, I have found him." And so I turned and I ran in his direction. I said, "Where is he?" Simon said, "I have to tell you." I was getting discouraged, thinking perhaps we had all had a dream together, or perhaps we misunderstood. But I finally came to a large house. I could hear the sounds of people laughing inside and talking. And I banged on the door and no one came. I banged on the door again. And a man came to the door and he said, "I'm sorry, we have no room. All of my relatives are here and some of their friends are staying as well. The house is full." I said, "But sir, I have left my sheep in the hillside. And I'm looking for a woman who may have given birth this night. Have you heard? Have you seen her?" He looked at me in a strange way. And he said, "Go around behind the house. A man and a woman came by earlier this evening. I dare not let her in here. For if she were to have that baby here, my house would be unclean and we would all have to leave." But they looked so tired. And she seemed so uncomfortable. I sent them back to the cave behind the house. They should be in there with the animals. At least it is warm, and there is straw on which they can lie down. I said, "So did you find them, Simon? Were they there?" He said, "I do not know. I came to get you first." And so Judah and Simon and I went to the cave. It was not a very elaborate place. As we walked in, I saw a very concerned man. He had his head bowed, and he was shaking his head. I knew something must be wrong. As I reached out and touched him on the shoulder, he jumped with a start and he turned and looked. I said, "Sir, I'm sorry to bother you. You seem like something is wrong, but we were told that there is a woman here who has given birth." His face broke into a smile, and he said, "Yes, come and see a wondrous thing." I said, "But sir, you were shaking your head and you looked concerned." He said, "I was shaking my head because it is something more wonderful than I could have imagined. Something more wonderful than I even believed until I saw it myself. For you see, this babe that has been delivered is not my child. An angel told me that he is from God, and he is Mashiach, Messiah." I stepped around, and there, lying in a feeding trough, wrapped up in bands of cloth to keep him from hurting himself, was a brand new baby boy. His mother looked tired, but her face was pleasant. I wondered, in such a place, a king, Messiah in such a place? The baby opened his eyes. I have seen babies' eyes before, but there was a sparkle and a brightness in those eyes that I have never seen. And in a moment, I knew. And I stepped back and knelt down because I knew Mashiach is here. And is here for me. A shepherd, not a king, not a rabbi, not an emperor or a soldier, but in that moment, I was richer than any king, even Solomon. We began to tell the man and the woman what we had experienced. And they smiled. His mother smiled with a smile that let me know that she too knew. We spent a short time. And as we left, we talked among ourselves about this wondrous thing, not just for kings, but for peasants. Not just for rabbis, but for shepherds. The sheep. The sheep that hear His voice. And as we walked into the night, filled with the joy of what we had experienced, I thought I could hear His cry even over our own voices. A cry that brought a tear to my cheek. A cry that brought a chill to my spine. Who would have imagined a king? A king. I later heard more of Him, and I saw Him as He grew, and I knew that I had been privileged more than I deserved. A shepherd and a king bound together for all eternity. If you know that king, share the joy of the good news as we went our way and shared with others that we knew. If you do not know that king, look into His eyes. Seek the feeding trough, the manger. For there you will find the bread of life and sustenance forever. For you see, if He could come for a shepherd, He can come for anyone, even a king. A closing hymn is hymn number 72, Jesus, Thou Joy of Loving Hearts. Jesus didn't just come to the wise, the wealthy, the powerful. In fact, in Luke's account, we find Jesus coming and bringing joy to those who are just the opposite, to those who are the peasants, the everyday, ordinary people, the shepherds of His day, the line workers, the mill workers, the salespeople. The average person. And Jesus came for the wealthy too. But He came and gave to you and to me and to all who will accept Him joy and promise and light in a night of darkness. As we sing, our altar is open for any who would make a profession of faith and accept that babe of Bethlehem joyfully. For any who would unite with our fellowship, we would accept you in joy. For any who would rededicate themselves to the joy that comes into our hearts and our lives in that baby from that feeding trough, a manger. Sustenance forever. Hymn number 72, Jesus, Thou Joy of Loving Hearts.